Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Deadline City. We are your hosts. I'm Zoraida Cordova.
And I'm Danielle Clayton.
And where are we going today on our very last episode of the season, Danielle?
Back to Resolution Boulevard, where we figure out what the heck we're doing for next year and sort of revisiting what we did this year.
I can't wait.
You don't sound that excited, so it sounds like you hate it.
I mean, that's your line. But I think that, you know, resolutions are a little complicated because it's so hard when it's a pandemic, right? Like, how do you maintain something when you feel like the world is imploding? You know, work still has to get done. And so I still have to make my resolutions, which I make every single year, even though I have like the papers for 2020 and 2021. And 2020, when I made those resolutions, I called it the year of Zoraida 2020.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't.
And it was definitely not.
It's definitely not.
It was not. It wasn't. Because 2020 should just be erased from all of our memories.
Yeah.
Period. But
100 years from now, we will have blanked it out of existence like we did the Spanish flu.
Right. But we had the roaring 20s and we're in the roaring 20s right now. But anyways, let's talk about what we did this year. Let's talk about some peaks, some high highs, and let's talk about some pits, some lows.
Great.
You know, roses and thorns. What were some of the like great things that happened to you in 2021?
Some of the good things that happened to me was God, are you serious?
It's wow. Gonna be plural. It's gonna be plural. You have more than one great thing.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm a third grade grammar teacher.
I hate you.
Go ahead and say English is my second language.
English is my second language, okay.
I love you.
Early in the year, I got tapped to write a one-shot comic for Marvel. It's in the Women of Marvel compilation. It's on Kindle and Comixology, if you're interested. And I think that they're selling it in comic book stores too. And so I got to write Gamora, which was great because I love Gamora and she's one of my favorite characters from Marvel. So that was really cool. That was one of my peaks.
One of my peaks was in January, we rang in the new year in New Orleans, where you flailed yourself on the ground like every day.
I did.
But we got a lot of writing done. We roasted a lot of chickens. We ate delicious food. We got to hang out with Elise Arden, one of our boos that lives in New Orleans. Like, we kicked off 2021, like, in an awesome
pretty
way.
Pretty solidly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was definitely a high for me. I got a lot done. It was
we
nice
were there
to,
for
like,
a month. We got to see, you know, it was so weird seeing the city so empty, right?
Yeah.
You know, because of pandemic. But we quarantined together in that house. And I started the year off. Another peak for me was like I did a lot of reading. So I read 120 books so far. And a lot of them were thanks to ebooks. I mean, a lot of them were thanks to audiobooks. And you know how I feel about replenishing the well and making sure that my mind stays sharp by making sure that I know what's coming out in my genre and others in like the genres that I write, and seeing what my fellow writers are doing. Right. Of course, you always want to find the story that like makes you feel like you get lost in it. And, you know, you don't think about the work, but like, I do think about the craft of a lot of these books that I'm reading.
Yeah, no, that's a good peek. All the reading you did. Another one for me was that Blackout came out, and that was such a great culmination of a lot of work and sort of what I thought the industry needed was just a great interconnected big Black teen love story. And so that came out for me in June, and it was so much fun to collaborate with some of my favorite people and have that, you know, just storm the industry with like goodness and kissing and
love stories.
You know.
Yeah,
it was, that was fun. We went to Puerto Rico for my birthday. That was good.
I mean, I moved down to Puerto Rico in February.
Yes,
so.
But I came. I came to visit you for my birthday. Mm-hmm. That was good. That was definitely a peak. We went to Spain.
That was a peak for me too, because we went to the Celsius Book Festival in oh my God, I forgot the town.
Aviles.
In Spain, and it was this cool little science fiction fantasy festival. Danielle was there. Natalie Parker and Tessa Grattan were there. We got to see our friends after almost a year and a half of not seeing them, which is so weird when you spend, you know, most of the year. Like, I know that I'll see Natalie and Tess at least twice a year, right? Because we're going to a retreat or we're going to a book festival. But a year and a half, man, that's a long time.
Yeah. And it was so great to be able to be in the north of Spain, having a taste of the old life back, right? I don't think we'll ever get our old life back because coronavirus is going to be with us for a very long time. But it was such a great sort of like replenishing of the well, like you were talking about. I need travel in order to unlock a lot of my stories. And so it was great to be able to like travel safely. It was very stressful doing all of the paperwork and, you know, all of the different testing, but we did it and we went, and it was beautiful and it just was renewal to me. Mm-hmm. And it was like midpoint through the year. It was just what I needed to like go into the fall.
Another reason it was a peak for me going to Spain was because I went to the south of Spain, which is where, you know, it has like the Arabic history of the country and all of the old Arabic kings in Spain. And so it was, there are all these like mosque cathedrals, right? Like there's the... They were never, they were repurposed, right? They, after the kingdoms fell, and everything became Catholic again. Like Queen Isabel of Castile, she didn't get rid of those mosques. And so I got to see all of these giant mosque cathedrals in Cordova and Granada and Sevilla. And when I was doing, when I was doing these historical tours, it was also 102 degrees.
You were dying.
It
you
was
dying
so
every
hot.
Day.
It was so hot every day.
But you got to see the land of your conquistadors. Like you saw the course. You are Cordova in Cordoba. Is it that they changed the V, the B, like how is it spelled?
It's spelled the same, but over there it's spelled with a B.
With a B. That's what I
like
thought.
Like a boy.
Be like a boy versus the V.
Mm-hmm. And okay. So there's like a lot of, you know, my name is very Andalusian, which is what they would tell me every time I did a tour. And they're like, your name is Araida Cordova. Like your name is so Andalusian.
So cool.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
And because Incendiary 2, Illusionary, came out in May, you know, that book almost broke me in 2020. So
it was like full circle for you to go back and like,
yeah, I went back and I was like, oh great. I got a lot of things right.
Yes. You did a good job. Like,
I did my research paid off.
Yeah.
Even though it is, you know, we talk about secondary worlds all the time, but that was good to see, even though, you know, it's so strange having so many books come out during a pandemic.
I'm sick of pandemic book babies.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm over this shit for sure. And then we went into the fall. I was really excited. Another big peak for me was relaunching my company, Cake. I'd been working on this relaunch for like a year and a half, and to have it be live for the world to see, this new iteration, this new chapter, was really exciting to see all of that work come into fruition, and to unveil my new website, and see all of it, and everyone seemed to love it. So that was a great highlight for me for September.
I mean, that was great to be able to see you do that. Cause I, you know, obviously I knew what was going on in the behind the machine, but you know, you just have so much great stuff, lined up, and you've put so much hard work into this company that I'm really excited to see what the future holds for Cake.
Yeah. So many more secrets coming in 2022. But yeah. And then it was a good fall. We also went to Mexico, which was great. Another renewal, socially isolating there and getting sort of our creative wells refilled by the company that we were in, but also sort of this designated writing time, which felt really, really good. And a good way to sort of close out the year a bit. So I felt super grateful for that. And I got to do my first in-person festival since the pandemic, which was Y'all Fest. And so it was so much fun and I felt really safe. The procedures really worked. And I thought, wow, okay, so this is what's going to happen for us to be in community again together. Mm-hmm. It was super strict, but it worked. And I was just so excited to see readers. That made me really, really happy and really, really excited.
Nice.
Yeah.
I had my first adult book come out this year.
The Beautiful Orchidea. Yeah. Yes, it was this year.
September. And so that was pretty nice to be able to sort of see publishing in a different category, right? Because, you know, age groups aren't genres and it's still fantasy, contemporary fantasy. I love working with new publishers just to compare notes on all the publishing houses. And so, you know, this has definitely been a wonderful experience working with Atria, an imprint of Simon & Schuster. And it was a lot of career firsts for me because Orchidea was in the Book of the Month Club for August as an early release. And for quote-unquote Hispanic Latinx Heritage Month, it was on the Amazon billboard in Times Square. And we had a really wonderful pre-order campaign, and they did a lot of like beautiful swag and stickers and things like that. So that was really nice to see what publishers are able to do when for so long you've been told like, oh, we can't do that, right? And so, yeah. You know, not shading anybody, but
telling the truth.
But telling the truth.
And that's what we do,
right?
On this podcast is tell the truth.
So it's sort of, I was like, oh, you guys could do that? Oh, okay, cool. And, you know,
they've always been able to do that. They've just decided not to do that for a lot of people, especially
it's
by
right.
PLC
it's
and
like,
queer
it's what,
people.
It's what books are given the parameters, right? Mm-hmm. Which books are chosen. And, you know, people talk about lead titles all the time. And so Atria doesn't actually use that language. They call their books top shelf. Like a top shelf selection. And then they're like, and this is the rollout. This is what we're going to do for this book.
And that shit was top shelf alcohol, honey. That's what Orchidea was. Okay. Top shelf.
It was Belvedere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No Tito's vodka over here.
No Tito's. Okay.
So that was really cool. It was, you know, but with all of that, it comes with other expectations, right? Which is like crippling as an author when you don't meet expectations. And so it's like a pit, like, you know, a peak and a pit at the same time. Right.
Yeah. And also a big, peak for you, which I loved watching, was Amor Actually. You launched this fantastic collection. And I want you to talk about it because I feel like this was such a fucking win. I know that there's a pit attached to it, but like to see it do its thing was really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so one of the best parts of my year was, you know, launching my books, right? Launching Illusionary, launching Orchidea Divina, and then Amor Actually, which was sort of a surprise launch. It is an anthology with that I collaborated on with six other Latina authors, Priscilla Oliveras, Alexis Daria, Adriana Herrera, Sabrina Sol, Mia Sosa, and Diana Munoz Stewart. And we sort of came up with the idea in 2019 when we went on retreat together, and we were always like, hey, we should collaborate on a book together. And we had an idea, and I had an idea. It was weird. But like, so then when we did the retreat, we couldn't do a retreat in 2020, but we did a virtual retreat. And in that virtual retreat, we were throwing our ideas around, and I was like, let's do a holiday thing. So we developed it, and it's interconnected stories, all leading to Noche Buena, which is, you know, Latino Christmas Eve. And so all the characters know each other somehow. I did the continuity of making sure that like all the stories aligned. And so that was a huge peak for me because I've always wanted to have that sense of community, right, with other Latina authors. And I just feel like really grateful that I have these ladies because they're all so freaking smart and they work incredibly hard and they're so business savvy. And so I always felt like the lazy YA author because everyone's like, here's my team, my ARC team and like my seven assistants. And I'm like, oh, I can barely, I barely get a tweet out myself. But they're just so industry savvy. So I've actually learned so much, and it's my first self-publishing endeavor. And the reason why there's a pit attached to it, but okay, more peaks. You know, we got a review in the New York Times that is like, this is cozy and delectable, right? Like it was a great review from the New York Times Book Review. We got a mention in Entertainment Weekly. We got a write-up in NBC Latino. We just got a BuzzFeed, you know, like one of the best books in December, right? Best books that you could have read in December. And so after all of that, like it feels really vindicating to get that kind of feedback when we try to sell it to traditional publishing and we got 19 rejections from editors all saying different things. Yeah. I'm still very mad about it. It is like I haven't been that rejected in publishing since 2008. Right. And in some ways, I got the same rejections from 2008 in 2021.
Make it make sense, though, Sarita, because I don't understand.
Some editors said that, like, they don't know how to make anthologies work. Meanwhile, an imprint of Harper released an anthology, a holiday anthology of, like, interconnected stories leading to a big historical Christmas party, right? Like, so like you can do it, right? Like don't tell me you can't do it and then do it right with another group of authors. And maybe because in romance, and maybe because in romance, it's not like in YA or science fiction, right? Science fiction, fantasy, you always have these big collections because science fiction fantasy is used to short stories, right? Readers are trained to read short fiction in serialized magazines and in like Uncanny and Lightspeed and the magazine of science fiction fantasy, right? And in YA, we have these big collections, so we're used to it. And so romance doesn't seem to have that. And that was the excuse, right? It's never been done, therefore we can't do it. And other rejections were sort of like, it felt like the language that was used, and maybe this was a mistake on the editor, but the language to me was like, we can't do this because it'll compete with this other title. And the other title is like by authors that are in the collection. And I'm like, what? This doesn't even make sense.
So tell me that you don't want two Latino books on a list without telling me you don't want two Latino books on a list. Right? We have our chili flake.
And then it was like, but please invite this author from the collection, this one author from the collection, to submit a full holiday novel. And I'm like, it was just weird. It felt like a slap in the face. I know, and some places just were like, we don't have the money to bid on this, like for what you want. And I'm like, all right, I get that. But it was just really, it was a new experience because I thought that I was done with rejection. And that's a little cocky, but like, you know, this industry will find new ways of learning how to break you, how to break your spirit or break your heart or break like your confidence.
And remind you that nothing's guaranteed, which sucks. Right.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I guess I shouldn't have thought that like it was going to be easy breezy, right? But at the end of the day, we put it out. We have a gorgeous cover. We have 9 incredible stories. I wrote 2 stories and they're very fucking sexy. Okay?
Yes, they are. Talk about chilies. Okay.
Yeah. We have Adriana Herrera and Alexis Daria both wrote queer, you know, female stories. And so we have like all the representation, right? Afro-Latinos, Latinos, like everything. And so it really is like this thing that because the publishing industry doesn't actually understand Latinidad, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, look, there's a white woman who's married to a Latino. Let's publish their book and call it diversity. and
don't get me mad.
Don't get me started, bro. Yeah. Don't get me started.
Don't get me mad.
But it is like that. That's where I feel romance is, and until I think that like editors really look at their lists and say this is what we're missing. Right, we can't just have one author represent everyone. Right, like we just need more of everything. So that's my piece on romance. I don't know if I'll go to traditional romance again. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna, one of my goals for 2022, which I'll talk about, is gonna be experimenting with self-publishing in the adult romance space. And it was really solidified when we got those rejections where I'm just like, oh, maybe there's not a place for me in romance. And part of me is like, I should not let romance beat me, but I also see how little I've also been through having such the least amount of control I've ever had over a book was an adult romance. And so neither, you know, it doesn't feel like a win-win situation for me.
It's sad. And it makes me wonder what the heck is going on in romance. I see so many talented women of color and queer people fighting, right? Fighting mm-hmm. to carve out space, right? And, you know, and I know that the editors who are editing these books and that have the acquiring power do not match the demographic, right? So they're still catering to Walmart, Wendy with their purchases, right? And I think that right. romance is still on the precipice
when you
of
tell
a revolution.
Me that, right. When you tell me that this book of a combination of queer, straight, and brown stories wouldn't do well in print, right? When you tell me that, that is coded language to me.
Mm-hmm. It's that white women are not going to read an anthology that features Latinx people. That's what that says. Latinx brown people and black people. Yeah, that's definitely a pit. But the cherry on top for me watching this happen is that your community was ready. You know, like people, I saw it everywhere on my timeline. I bought it. I'm loving it. You got these reviews. I mean, the New York Times, like you guys made shit happen. It was like, okay.
We did.
Like,
okay. And
doubt us.
The Latina bloggers are fucking incredible. They were like, they had us on their channels and they were like, I've never seen this before. This is like, you know, because this is the thing, like publishing won't do something until it's been done.
Yep.
Right. And maybe my hope is that they'll do it for another group of authors or like, you know, but do it well. But I also can't trust publishing.
Yeah. We can't trust because we haven't seen them do it. So it's like, you know, a next group of authors are going to come and try to do the same thing and it's going to be a no, right? But I'm hoping that what you all did was prove that it can be done. And if romance, traditional romance, wants to close its doors, there is a thriving self-published marketplace that is ravenous for the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great.
Absolutely. And
I think next season we should do a whole episode on rejections. I would love to read you some of the rejections that I've received.
Oh, because, I would love that.
Because I save every single one of them. They are a reminder of effort, of progress. They are also a reminder that the industry is still full of bullshit and that people are not careful when they reject work, that their bigotry seeps through email. And I would love to share some of it. And I think we should. Because
I think I should. I'll look up the rejections that I got for my strip series.
Mm-hmm.
And because those were hilarious to me. I was like, please stop telling me to submit to you if you're just going to keep rejecting me to your publisher.
Yeah. It's such a clown. Just clown shit. Like, it's just ridiculous. But, you know. So that part was a pit.
But overall, Amore Actually is like one of the highlights of my year, right?
Yeah.
Like just building community. I actually got to meet through the ladies of the Amore Actually collection. I got to meet other Latina authors that are doing like the damn thing, right? And
I love it.
And so now that there's an even bigger group and the Latin excellence is truly inspiring to me.
I love it. I love it so much. I'm here for it. You know, Tu Gente is like they're awesome. They are great.
Yeah. And so it's been really great learning from them and just seeing what can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Because this industry will try to erase you if you let it, and you can't let it.
And it felt like just like a big celebration, right? Like
It was supposed to be joy and celebration, right? No sadness. There is sadness in every community, but like we just wanted to celebrate the good things. Like if you watch With Love, Gloria Calderon Kellett's new show on Amazon Prime, it follows one family and extended group of friends through an entire year from Christmas to Christmas, and sort of you see all of the love stories, all of the messy, good, complicated love stories, and all of the queer stories are, you know, tragedy free. So you can go into that seeing that. But so if you like With Love, you should read Amore Actually.
I love it.
And if you like Amore Actually, you should watch Witch With Love.
Yeah. I think it's amazing. And you guys all are from different parts of Latinidad. And you were able to make something that feels like a celebration, right? Coming straight out of it. Like, hey, there's a place for you here in these big love stories, which I love. You made me want to be part of Latinidad. I can fake it till I make it, but like, you know, it's like, remember,
I claimed you for the Ecuadorian contingency.
I know. But remember that one of my favorite songs?
La Gozadera, yes.
Yeah, where all the Latinos are throwing out all of their amazing things.
Yeah.
Like habichuelas, everything like that. Like, it's my favorite song because it's like a get hype Latino song. And so
Latino song.
This is get fall in love Latino style. Like, that's what Amore Actually is to me. Yeah. Like, everyone is like celebrating.
It is a hint of his own song.
Exactly. And it's like spicy. So it's good. Picante. I love it. I was like, oh. The heat turns up, and then some of them the heat turns down, and then we go to like ones where I'm like, oh dear. So it was great.
I mean, the heat is always simmering, but some of them are boiling over.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And I loved it. But like, what a way to end the year on.
Yeah. And it's still surprising to me because every day I get a bunch of tags on my Zoe Castile account, which was actually – my Zoe Castile account has been dead for since 2018. So so just seeing the flurry of activity, right, like a bunch of new followers and people being like, you haven't published since 2018, finally. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. I didn't realize you were waiting.
Yes. No, it's good. I'm glad you're feeling – like that part of you is back and can have a new adventure, right? Where you can look out and say, okay, this really worked. And I can think about how else I can build a community in self-publishing as well as traditional. And so,
yeah, I mean, perfect. And you and I both have the same goals, right? Is to like send the ladder back down and pull the ladder back up. Wait, or is it an elevator?
It's elevators an elevator, are easier. Bro. Oh my God.
You know, I just like that extra manual labor.
I don't want to climb a ladder, okay? I just want to get in the elevator. I'm afraid of heights. Got my ass on a ladder. Anyways, yes.
Clearly, look at how our brains work.
But yeah, so where are you ending this year? Like, what is on your plate still to do, with these last few days left? What are you wrestling in terms of deadlines? What's going to be going with you into 2022?
A peak for me was that I sold 3 books. I can't tell you what they are. But I can tell you about
hit my Cash App, y'all. It's in the show notes.
I can tell you one of them is the next book, my option book for my Atria contract. And options, for those of you just, you know, like new to the business, is the book that your publisher gets to see first before anybody else, right? Mm-hmm. And so of course, I wanted to stay with Atria, and they were very good to me.
Yes.
So I'm excited. It's speculative fiction, contemporary fantasy. There's a thriller element. There's a legacy element, historical parts. So I guess if you like those big elements of Orchidia, it's not magical realism, but if you like those big elements of Orchidia Divina, I think you might like this next book.
I think people are going to love it. They're going to love it. So you're working on that. You have many secrets that you're working on. I have many secrets.
I have many deadlines. I'm writing my first script.
Which is exciting.
And can't tell you what it's for yet. Although I'm pretty sure I've talked about it somewhere because I don't know how to keep a secret.
You don't know how to keep a secret. Thank God you keep my secret.
I do. I keep other people's secrets better than I keep my own. Yeah. Because for me, I'm just like, don't tell anybody, wink, wink.
I just threaten people.
I have crippling anxiety and a desperate need for approval. So
I love it.
But, you know, this year was a huge year for me. I finished putting together Reclaim the Stars, which comes out next year, comes out February 15th.
Reclaim the
Stars is Latinx science fiction fantasy anthology. It's all YA authors. I literally went to every YA fantasy author that I knew and I was like, hey, you're going to be in this anthology, please. I wrote Valentina Salazar is Not a Monster Hunter, my next middle grade, which is my ode to supernatural and family stories. So it's like magical monsters, supernatural, family, and a big van.
With the best cover ever. So
the best cover ever. I love that cover.
It's so good.
It's one of my favorite covers. And that comes out in June 28th, 2022. I wrote that book this year. I did my proof pages for Orchidia Divina because it was like literally down to the wire. Okay, down to the wire we were working on that book. I taught a class on character at Lit Reactor, which was actually also a peak for me because I love teaching those classes. I'm probably not going to do another teaching thing for a while because I'm going to concentrate on my deadlines, but I also wrote a whole ass erotic fantasy, which I launched under a secret pen name.
Hit my Cash App, everyone, and I'll expose her.
Thank you. And that book, and that book kind of surprised me because I was like, oh, I've always talked about writing this book, and then I finally wrote it. So it was really nice. It's nice, you know, being anonymous, and I just want to make sure that every year I have something that's just for me.
Yeah.
That's so as we're moving on to talk about our goals, that's one of mine, is to just always work on a little side project that has no publisher waiting for it. It's just for me.
No, that makes complete sense. And like, so where I'm ending 2021, I've got, you know, next year I have 4 books out, which is very stressful for me. And it's mostly because of the pandemic and supply chain issues and things having to be bumped. So I have Shattered Midnight, which is the second book in the Mirror series, that was launched by Julie C. Dow's Broken Wish. That comes out January 18th. I've got to launch that. Then in February, I have The Rumor Game. No, that's March. In March, I have The Rumor Game. And then I have The Marvelers in May. And then I have a secret book that hasn't announced yet that will also come. And so I'm working on now the second book in the Marveler series, finishing that up. So that's what I'm like trying to make headway on before the end of the year and into the early new year, is make headway on that. And then I have one secret thing that I've got to, well, two, that I've got to finish up to close out some contracts. So the words never stop, which is just like,
whoa. They don't stop.
Whoa. They never stop. But I know we were going to talk about this idea of stopping, this idea of quitting, because it's been terrible these last 2 years. We've released so many books in pandemic. We've had to write in pandemic. We've lost so many people. Everyone's getting sick. The infrastructure is not supporting our old way of life, nor is us moving forward. That a lot of times I'm seeing a lot of writers pack it up and quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even writers that I, you know what I mean, thought would be writing forever. Some of them are like, you know what? I'm out of here. My kids are home, Zoom school. They're driving me nuts. Or I have, you know, they have elder care, or they're getting sick with the coronavirus themselves.
Yeah.
And this question comes up a lot for a lot of people. Not for me.
Right.
Because I'm a glutton for punishment, but it does come up for a lot of people. And you were reading a book that you keep harassing me about. So go ahead and tell everyone about you have.
The book, I feel like I've mentioned it on the podcast before, pretty sure, because my memory is full of holes. And
like Swiss cheese, honey.
Like Swiss cheese. And it's funny, but funny that I think of that because I read 2 books this year which really have stuck with me, right? The Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes and Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. And Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic, I didn't like the first time I read it. The second time I read it, I was like, this is about me, right? I don't know, but I just felt really lost in this industry. Again, I feel like I don't really know where my place is. You know, I've been in this for the Star Wars fans, it's like I'm Cassian Andor, right? Like I've been in this battle for like since I was 8 years old.
Oh, no.
But it's true, right? Like I've been at this game since 2008 when I went out with my first submission.
Actually longer, because didn't you want to be a writer in high school? Didn't you have a teacher that inspired you?
Yes.
Weren't you on a train? Okay.
God, I hate you so much. we're going to have to tell the story again because of you.
Yes, tell it.
I had a teacher named Mr. Johnson. He was the social studies teacher, and he also taught African-American history in our school, in high school. And he is the reason I'm a writer. He, like, sent an application for me for the National Book Award Writing Camp. He was just a cool-ass dude. And he used to have a red pen that he kept on his lapel, not his little shirt pocket. And it was called Mr. Red. And Mr. Red would talk, right, and say, like, Mr. Red is angry. And then Mr. Red would always say, if somebody was late to class, they would say, the train is moving. And so during a panel with Danielle and Mark Ashiro in Denver, when Danielle was far too happy for her own well-being, I told the story.
Slander me.
And Mark. I told the story of how this impacted me because the train is moving. So I've always felt like I'm in this one-shot train to
That's not
success.
Exactly what you said.
What did I you, say?
That's, okay. So you said that ever since you read Amelia Atwater Rhodes' books.
In the Forest of the Night, yes.
In the Forest of the Night, right? And you started, you know what I mean, writing in high school, that you were on a one-shot train to author town, right?
Got it.
Like, you knew that that's what you wanted. And you said that your teacher would always say, the train is moving, right? Mm-hmm. And you use that metaphor to talk about how you've always been on this train moving towards this particular destination, mm-hmm. which is to be a published author. And you were willing to do whatever it took. You were writing book after book, rejection after rejection. You were doing all of that, right? Because you knew you were supposed to be on that train. It's a beautiful metaphor. We were just, you're disgusting
friends. Danielle
made
it dirty. Danielle
Mark
and
also,
Mark made it.
Why Mark- does Mark Oshiro, why do you protect them and not protect me?
Because Mark was only an innocent bystander.
Whatever. Whatever. Okay. This feels like I'm being slandered. Feels like anti-blackness to me. How dare you let innocent, sweet innocent Mark off the hook when Mark was cackling too. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So
anyways, it's a beautiful metaphor for how you view this career, right?
Right.
It's a train.
And so I've been on this
moving.
Train for a very long time. And reading Big Magic and The Year of Yes sort of has me thinking about, like, when is it time to pack up and when is it time to move on, right?
Never!
And it doesn't mean forever. It doesn't mean forever, right? Big Magic does talk about, Elizabeth Gilbert talks about how she gave advice to a panelist, or not a panelist, an attendee of a conference or a talk that she did, because they're like, you know, writing's making me miserable. I no longer love it. And she, how do I learn to love it again? And she was like, maybe it's time to quit. Maybe it's time to quit, not forever, but until you learn to love it again, right? And Shonda Rhimes said in The Year of Yes that she doesn't really believe in dreams, right? Because when you're dreaming, you're not doing. And so it's this, like, combination of Master Yoda and Shonda Rhimes being like, do or do not, there is no try. You either have to do something because, like, dreams are not going to pay the bills, right? You can't dream about being a writer. You have to write and become a writer. And so I just have both of those ideologies sort of swirling in my head as I try to understand my place in the industry between all the peaks and pits that I've experienced since 2008.
And I get it. And I know why people get off the train for all these different reasons. They fall out of love with the writing, with the work, with the industry bullshit. They have responsibilities, right? They have to try something new in order to pay those bills, right? There's all of those things I had, you know, 4 jobs before I could start making a living on my writing. And I get it. I definitely get it. And I feel like one of the reasons why I stay on the train is that when I was in grad school, I was getting a master's in children's literature, and I had to read the entire canon of children's books. And I had to read it in order to pass some serious tests, right, to get my master's degree. And as I was reading through thousands and thousands of books, from picture books, middle grade, YA, the foundational texts that the establishment anoints as the canon, the best children's books, right? The things that made the genre, made the category. I realized there were so many kids missing. And it really, really frustrated me. And I was the only Black person in my class, I think in my entire program at the time. And I had to write a paper, and then I had to have a meeting with a professor as my sort of like, almost like an exit interview. It's like, what are you going to do with your life now? Now that you've gotten this master's degree, now that you've studied, what are you going to do? And he said to me, this white man, who is brilliant, and he said to me, you know, African Americans really don't go into writing and to being writers. What are you going to do with this degree? And what are you going to do basically with your life after this program? And it pissed me off. And I said, what do you mean? What do we do? I said, when you look at the collected works of Toni Morrison and you look at Virginia Hamilton, Walter Dean Myers, Mildred Taylor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and you tell me that I'm not descended from greatness, from titans of literature, there is no American literature without the Black American sort of story, period. And so what it did was it lit a fire in me. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be the most famous person to ever graduate from this program, number one, so that you will hear my name consistently until you retire. 2, I'm going to make sure that I can fill in all of these holes in the canon, and to lift up other authors that represent all of those missing children so that they can write to the child that they were and make sure that the canon in 50 years looks completely different than the canon that I grew up with, the canon that I had to study as sort of the best of the best of books. And so one of the reasons why I don't get off the train, even when it sucks, like I'm exhausted. One of the goals I'm going to talk about is burnout. I am so tired. But for me, the work is more than a creative endeavor. It's more than just being an author and what that means. It's literally to walk among the titans that created a path for me to even be a writer, right? The things that fed me to be recognized and to leave behind this legacy so that the next person can never have those gaps in their imagination, right? Where they never saw themselves. I want to build a generation of readers and writers and help grow their imaginations in ways that I felt like mine wasn't grown. So when I want to get off the train, that's when I remind myself, I do a school visit or talk to kids about books, interact with readers, because what it does is it reminds me of why I'm on the train. And yes, I'm exhausted. Yes, sometimes I hate books and I hate every part of the process of it, especially the business part, where you find out that some people's imaginations are given a higher price point than yours based on all of the isms, right? They literally are paid at a price point that is never going to be something you can reach. And I'm frustrated by it, but I have a very angry little mole inside me that won't quit.
What's your mole's name?
How are you, Angry Angela?
Angry Angela, right?
You have bitter and Beatrice.
No, I'm not bitter Beatrice. I was actually thinking about this. I was thinking about it. I'm not bitter Beatrice. I'm Jaded Janice.
That's my middle name, and I don't like you.
Okay, fine. Jaded Jane. I'm Jaded Jane.
Why?
Or Jaded June. I'm Jaded June. I've decided.
Why can't she have a Latino name?
Because J's are soft. There's no alliteration.
I can't think right now of a
Jacinta.
Jacinta? Jaded Jacinta?
No, I'm not going to name. No, it's Jaded June. Okay?
Who knew?
Jaded June. No, it's the hard J, bro.
I know where the
And there's a difference. There's a difference between being bitter and being jaded, right? Like, I think that if I were bitter, I just wouldn't write anymore. But I'm jaded. I think that, like, I've had a very consistent – I used to joke that, like, something would always go wrong during a book. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of got used to it. And I'm like, you know, you roll with the punches. But after a while, it just gets tired. And so I'm so jaded that I just like expect something, you know, something
you
to go
wait
wrong.
For it. You wait for it, because what I've seen you do is you're like, okay, what's it going to be? Right? It's going to be something. What's it going to be? And you
right,
just
but then
prepare
I can't
for
be
it.
Surprised. I can't be surprised. Right? Because when you expect disappointment, you can't be disappointed.
Disappointed,
so,
Deborah. <Thank
you>. and I think that like I.
But you're not wrong. You're completely right. Like in a way of emotionally, sort of preparing yourself for the bullshit of the part of the work. To be on the train means there is going to be disappointment.
Right, there and I have so much jadedness. Baggage. I have so much baggage, and so like my team. My editors, my sweet publicists, that I like, I hate letting them down, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm used to being let down and I'm okay with it. I'll move on. I'll write the next book. I'll get over it. But like, the thing that I hate the most is like feeling like I let my team down at any point in time with any book. And now, because I know that they all believe in me. And so I'm almost like, that is like one of the things that does keep me writing, is like knowing that there are people that love me and love my work. Because if you don't have that, then you just, then I would be truly bitter and just stop writing. But I do think that maybe I have to work on my jadedness for next year. Because I do have a lot of great things happening, and I have a team, a new team, right?
Yeah.
That is busting their asses off for me. So I have to show up, even though I'm like, I'm so exhausted of this circus, or I'm just like, well, it's going to be another thing again. But I still have to show up and act like I'm a debut again.
And I think what it is too, like, I mean, I have to work on my anger too, because what it means is that I'm like, I can be
so
cutthroat.
You're so short. You're so short. I mean, you're literally short.
I'm literally short.
You're emotionally short with things. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing that.
Like, right. My fuse has gotten shorter and shorter, and I'll cut your fucking head off. Right? Like, I have no patience, because I'm like, the bullshit is coming. So like, let me prepare for the bullshit, but it makes my fuse really short, because I'm expecting the bullshit. I'm angry about the bullshit. So like, you say, like, it's really easy to light the fuse with me. Mm-hmm. And I think I've got to become more relaxed in the process, right? And to know I'm going to be on this train for a very long time. That means that I'm going to have years more of the bullshit, right? And yeah, I need to work on that. That's something I definitely want to.
Okay, so you're
going to
work on Angry Angela. And yeah. Angela's actually my grandmother's name.
I know. And Angie Thomas, my beloved, is going to be pissed that I named her Angry Angela. It's because I was texting with Angie, and that's why. And I said Angela to her. Let me get another
Angry Abby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Angry Abby or Angry Allison.
Angry Allison. All right. So Angry Allison.
And Jaded June.
June.
We're going to work on these two.
We're
going to
work on destroying them.
Exactly. Because Jada June looks like a little small, sad troll doll, or like the Care Bear. That's like the sad Care Bear.
The little troll dolls with the jewel belly button.
Mm-hmm.
But like an angry version, because those are always smiling.
Yeah, but an angry version. Or we can do Care Bears, like a tiny little Care Bear, and you can have the little
sad. And they also have jewels in their belly buttons.
They do too. And they do a Care Bear stare. And so...
I wish I had like graphic design talent and then draw these two characters.
It would be great. It would be amazing. All of our little, it's like Inside Out, right?
In that movie. Yeah, it is exactly like Inside Out.
And these
and I think that that's something that I truly have to like look inward, and because you're not alone in this industry, right? There's a team that depends on you. There's a team that's waiting for your work. And so like, when you give up, they give up, right? And that's something that I really have to work on myself, which is not to say that I'm going to be like bushy-tailed little rabbit.
Susie Sunshine?
Yeah. I've been in this industry too long. But I could get with like an in-between place, right, where – I understand the realities of the industry, but I also learn how to have a little bit more hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. And excitement for when this used to be new, right? And when it used to feel like it was moving a mountain to be able to have a book out, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at pictures from my debut in 2012, and I was like, look at that bitch. She's 30 pounds lighter. She doesn't have any pimples.
Oh my god.
She doesn't have any stress acne.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
She can wear 4-inch heels and not complain about it.
Well, I don't think we can wear 4-inch heels post-pandemic. We haven't been in heels for 2 years.
I know. Also, I used to wear heels every day for 10 years when I worked at the clubs.
Yeah.
And actually not wearing heels has shrunken my Achilles tendon.
Oh my God. So is that like psoriasis science or is that real science?
I'm pretty sure it's real science. Like it shrink, like your tendon shrinks again.
What?
Psoriasis believes
in mermaids too. So like, just know that she believes in mermaids as well. And we will find out. If
I do.
High heels. Look, shrink
also,
your
this
Achilles.
Is another reason why I have to. This is another reason why I have to like get rid of Jada June, is because like I've met so many writers who are like, you inspire me to do XYZ, and I'm like, I don't want to be your Britney Spears.
Oh,
it's too
my
much
God.
Burn. Britney never asked to be a role model, okay? But
my God,
then
why
she got criticized.
Like
she got criticized like for wearing that sparkly skin tone outfit, which was covering her whole body. And, you know, it was just so much pressure, but like, I take that responsibility really seriously. And that's why I always want to be honest, because if like writers are looking to me and you, right. I've literally heard people call you a god among men.
I don't get that. I'm a little grumpy, messy human being who's barely 5'1" and like I am
short
a 85 year old black lady, like trapped in the body of a 30 something year old. Like I want steak, whiskey, house slippers, like good TV, reading newspaper. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, am I a god? Or I have a hard time. I have a hard time.
Yeah. And so like, you know, that's something that I've become more aware of, because I always think that nobody's looking at me and nobody's paying attention to me. And I think that like realizing that people are looking at me, I guess it's just sort of like, great, I have to set up straighter. I have to make sure there's no spinach in my teeth. I have to like,
oh my God, I'll make sure there's no spinach in your
proverbially,
teeth.
Proverbially, right? Like, right. Like I'm more conscious of the things that they say because they'll be repeated. Mm-hmm. And I'm so used to just being like feeling invisible that I know the day is coming where like anything I say might be get you know, get misconstrued or like, or somebody will take it to heart and then stop writing forever. And I don't want that. I want people to actually go after their dreams and make sure that they're doing, not just dreaming, right?
Right. And that you're the way, when you share your pits, right? Your valleys, your thorns, that mm-hmm. you're sharing them to be honest.
Do you know why? Do you know why?
What?
Do you know why you have to share your thorns?
What? No.
Because
No. I knew, like, I'd walk into the trap.
Every cowboy.
I walked straight into
sad,
that.
Sad song.
You have not done a lot of singing this.
That's because you shamed me into not singing.
I did not shame you. I think you haven't been doing a lot of singing because you've missed your dear Jaskier from The Witcher. Spare of whatever for The Witcher.
You know it's spare coin. You know it. You know the line. Why are you acting okay. like you don't know?
Spare a coin for your Witcher. You are the bard.
Toss a coin to your Witcher.
Toss a coin to your Witcher. God. You're the Witcher in this duo. No, you're Jaskier, and I guess I'm the Witcher in this.
I guess. But this you, Geralt's so grumpy and smelly.
But he's sexy, though. So, also, you didn't have him because that second season did not drop until this season
month.
Of Deadline City was
yeah.
over.
Yeah.
You missed him. That's why you haven't been singing. But you need to get your songbird voice back. Bird by bird, okay? Bird by bird. So what are your damn goals for 2022? What am I holding you to? What am I holding you to?
I'm going to try to find excitement in each of my launches.
Oh, I thought you were going to.
I have my Reclaim the Stars, February. Valentina Salazar in June, the paperback of Rakita Divina in July, a secret book sometime next year. So like get excited, right? Like
okay.
rediscover, or I guess the better way to put it is reconnect with that little girl.
Who all you wanted to do was be a writer. The little girl who first got on the train when they were 16.
Yeah. 13.
Excuse me.
Oh. I'm just correcting. I'm just making sure we get the facts straight.
Okay.
Correcto.
Excuse me. That was a lot of R's. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I think I just want to reconnect with the person that the little kid that I was, that was like, wow, wouldn't the greatest thing on earth be being a writer? And now I'm a writer and I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah, you really are.
And I don't want to feel that way anymore. I really don't. I just want to be in a better place.
In a better place? In a better space?
Dead.
I have quite a few goals.
I'm not done with my goals. That was,
okay, continue.
We're going back and forth, right? We're going back
yes.
and forth. Okay, go. You go.
My God. This is a writer show. Maybe that's what 2022 is, since you didn't get that in 2020. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I need to prevent burnout. So I'm like really exhausted. And I think that I really need to put some things into place. Like I'm having this when I get really, really tired, my joints really hurt. And so I'm having some autoimmune flares. I already have autoimmune issues, but they're getting worse. And I think I need to start deeply turning off the work, whether I want to or not, whether people are waiting on something or not. And what part of that is that I hired a fantastic editor for Kate named Shelley Romero, who's fabulous. My little Bruja. She's amazing. That's part of that plan. But also it's doing better planning, but also infusing my schedule with things that are just like blocked off on my calendar. No, I can't do a call, right? No, I can't do a thing. And like learning to say no, it's really mm-hmm. hard. Really, really hard.
Yeah. That's also on my list is, don't be burned out. I feel like I've barely recovered from burnout. Mm-hmm. But you know, but you and I, we had to work. You take the deal because you need to, because you want to write the book, but also you need to.
Right.
And you and I just don't really have good work-life balances.
Attack.
And I think that we like with when we're, especially and when we're with Schwab, like we're just like a who's gonna work the most today, right? Contest.
So now we're dragging Schwab too. Victoria Schwab. Okay.
Yeah. And it's sort of like we sort of like egg each other on in like in the working because we're all workhorses. But I think that like I want to learn how to say, okay, maybe Saturdays is my day off where I don't do any work, right? Mm-hmm. Because I truly do a little bit of work every single day, 365. And then I'll crash. My body will shut down. I'll get a stomach ache. I'll get a migraine. I've had a migraine for like a month. From looking at computers and screens and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And then, I just couldn't, I had to shut down. And then last year I had a frayed tendon on my shoulder because I literally wrote my shoulder off and it has healed, but it hasn't fully healed because when I'll do like, I had a period where I was doing 12-hour shifts writing and my shoulder would just flare up. And I just have to, part of burnout, part of like controlling burnout and staving off burnout is making sure that I take care of my body, that I stretch, that that I'm taking care of my physical shell because, you know, this meat bag has to get me through a few more years.
Why did you call it that? You did not have to call your body a meat bag. Like, I dislike you. I hate it. I hate it. I really hate it. Okay. I hate it. I hate it. But I agree that we need to take care of our bodies. It's why I bought a rower. It's why I bought a subscription to Be Stretch every week. Why are you laughing at me?
It sounds sexual.
Oh my God. I dislike you. Yes. I'm having my limbs, which are geriatric. Okay. I'm a geriatric millennial having them stretched so that I can keep my joints lubricated.
Sure.
Okay. And stress relief. And also, you know, always trying to eat better. I don't really eat badly. Like I don't eat terribly. But I do have a couple of bad girl tendencies.
Yeah.
That I could take it easy on, right? So yeah, I just want to keep investing in the physical being. I have carpal tunnel now, which was like such a surprise and crept up on me this fall, and I have to manage that. And so it is going to be a lot of cutting back or needing more time, or you know, I'm icing and bracing and heating and all of that stuff, but you know, it's showing up in the body. Sure.
It shows up in the body. And I think writers, take care of yourself. Get one of those cushions, those hemorrhoid pillows. What are they called? So what are they actually called? I keep calling them hemorrhoid pillows, but I know they're not.
I don't know what they're called.
But because when you go on Amazon and you look up like cushions, that's what the names that shows up on some of them.
Yeah, I have one on my desk. I mean,
get one of those, get an ergonomic keyboard. I know that they're expensive. It's like $112 for like the Loki keyboard, but it really reduced the strain on my wrists with it. So just like figure out your setup so that you don't turn into a question mark by the time you're 35.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is like, you know, goals. My next goal is to meet all of my deadlines and not ask for an unreasonable extension.
Oh boy. This feels like it's not going to happen, but I'm going to let you
live. Why are you already not believing in me?
I believe in you, but we're in a global pandemic still. And that shit, I think, has had consequences for us that we're going to have for the next 5 years or more. Mm-hmm. In terms of the amount, the way we focus, the way we connect, the way we can manage workload. And I know I'm going to be late on some deadlines. I know that. I wish you the best. Let me know how it goes.
Deadlines don't wait for a pandemic. That's what we've learned.
I know, but they have to wait. Some of them have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I support you.
Thank you.
I support you.
What's yours next goal?
I want to, this is twofold. I want to do some deep career planning and close out some old contracts that I have. So I'm coming to the end of a couple of things. I'm doing my middle grade series, which is really exciting. And then I have two secret YAs and a third YA that closes out an old chapter, right? And these things are going to be wrapped up all this year. So it's time for me to sort of think through what's next for me in the YA space, if anything, because I'm loving middle grade so much. Even before my book came out, middle grade was what I started writing. It's what I first fell in love with. I just got lucky with a YA book first. And I'm loving my adult book. And so just thinking about what is going to be sort of next for me in these various spaces and doing some deep career planning as I'm closing contracts and thinking about a reset, right? Thinking about where I want to be, what house I want to be at, what's the next thing I want to make, and how does it fit in the constellation that is, you know, me and what mm-hmm. I'm doing. So I need to do some personal career work, career planning work.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. I'm out of contract in YA and middle grade. And so the only thing that I have is my adult, mm-hmm. which is great. And I'm very excited, but I'm sort of I have to have a talk with myself about figuring out whether or not there's a place for me in YA, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so where are the stories? Because, you know, when I first started writing, I was a teenager and my characters were my age. And I sort of, you know, that was the voice that I had. And I stayed with that voice and I stayed with those characters and those worlds. But, you know, I really have to think about it.
Yeah. And
what would
fill
that.
And taking a look, right?
Yeah, because I obviously, it's not like I'm short for ideas. It's just sort of like whether or not they're the right projects, which is a good problem to have. But for now, I could also just concentrate on writing my adult book. And then in the second half of the year, worry about that.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to think that through. But this is an exciting thing. It's a little scary, but it's also exciting to figure out what's next. And then I have one last goal. Well, actually two. I want to read more and be present. Next year I have 4 books out. So I want to actively use reading as sort of coping and being part of my being present in the experience of those events, and the launching of things and in the creative. Like I was in 2020 and 2021, I was like, let me just get through it. Just get through it, right? It's almost done. Get through it to where I'm on autopilot and I enjoy none of it. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one. A non-writing one is I want to do a long distance hike because I didn't get to do one last year or the year before that.
Oh no.
So we'll see if August is my year.
Yes. I'm going to try to spend August and September somewhere else. Are we going to the UK?
Scotland. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I can do my hike there and then meet you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll have the spa ready for you. I'll have the spa ready because your body will be broken. Your toes and your feet.
Yeah.
We'll need it.
Mm-hmm. But I think that the biggest one for me is obviously reconnect, but also I want to take some like self-publishing risks.
Yeah.
Which is just write stuff that's just for me and figure out my voice again. Cause I think we're always, one of the biggest things that I tell writers is like, you have to have something to say. And so I just, during pandemic, I feel like I've just been sort of holding up the shield, just trying to make sure that I'm okay, that my health is okay, that my family's okay, that like, that I'm like held together by scotch tape and mm-hmm. wine.
Yeah, I was about to say.
And a stack of wine crates, right? that Where's I just the like, wine? Yeah, that I have to like remember my love for this wild, crazy industry, not even the industry, just endeavor, right?
Yeah,
because it's the endeavor. The endeavor is bigger than us, and just keep remembering that, and remembering what I wanted to say, right? Because it's always been make space for Latinx voices, and now there are so many more, right? It wasn't just me shouting out into Twitter void in 2010, being like, "Where are the Latin people?
Hola, where y'all at?"
And now there's so many. There's so many emerging voices and making their own space. And I just want publishing to treat them well and give them a chance, right? Because all anybody wants in any industry is an opportunity. And we have been very lucky in having many opportunities.
Yeah, we have. We have. And I hope that
we also
continues.
Work very hard.
We work very hard, and I'm hoping we can make even more opportunities for other people, for ourselves, for our families, all of those things. And I'm just going to give myself a lot of slack next year. I have a long year, and I need to focus on taking care of myself.
All right, so we got to make sure that everyone holds us to it. And if you're listening out there, tell us your goals. Tell us your aspirations.
And also, we have the best thing that I'm really excited about for next year is Deadline City related. Obviously, we'll be back for season 6 early in the new year, but we also have something amazing that just launched. Cordova, tell them about it.
Yes, we just launched a shop on tpublic.com. We'll put it in the show notes. Right now we have T-shirts, mugs, stickers, all Deadline City branded, so you can represent your favorite location, the Deadline.
And yeah, so like if you ever wanted, you know, our messiness in a mug or a T-shirt, you can get it now. So yeah, look out for it. And thanks so much for spending the fall with us. Can't wait to see you after the new year. Get all the words done.